I'd like to show you the source sheet here, and again, it's a slightly updated one. So if you want to get a copy of this updated one, let me know. This shiur is in anticipation of Shavuot, which for all of us, thankfully, it's Thursday night, so Dovi can join us from Ramat Beit Shemesh, and it's all still Erev Yom Tov for everybody. And it's about grandparents and grandchildren. And the shiur is really in honor of Lee and Lee's granddaughter, Tamima, who lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, who's getting married, I believe, next week. And so I thought it would be an appropriate thing to talk about grandparents and grandchildren. And I know many of the people in the shiur here are grandparents and can hopefully relate to this. I'm hoping one day in the not-too-distant future to be able to sneak into that club, too. I want to start with this pasuk as sort of a general header. In the beginning of Ha'azinu, after the introductory piece in Moshe's song, Moshe tells us, Zohar Yemot Olam Binu Shnot Dor Vador, Sha'al Avicha V'yagedecha Zekenecha V'yom Rulach. In order to understand history and the doings of every generation, you have to ask your father and you have to ask your elders. Now, who are the elders? So the simple read of it, and it's probably pshat, is Avicha means your actual father, and Zekenecha means the elders of the community. But it may have a different meaning here within the context, at least, of Matan Torah and its central place within our tradition. I want to point out, although this is really a bit of foreshadowing, the pasuk that sits at the very, very end of Nevuah. Malachi was a Navi at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. Beit HaMikdash had already been rebuilt. It had been standing about 50 years, but had been really in a degraded fashion. And Malachi's prophecies are the last bit of prophecy that we have, and it's the end of, say, of the section called Nevi'im. And the last two psukim, which are in blue here, we're going to come back to the red later on, read, Hinei anochi sholech lachem et Eliyahu Navi lifnei bo yom Adonai hagadol v'hanora. Hashem says, I'm going to send you Eliyahu in anticipation of the great and awesome day of Hashem. And now, a great and awesome day can play several ways. And as we see in the psukim just before this, it can be a day of great healing and warmth. It can also be a day of fear and judgment. And throughout the Nevi'im, we see these different pictures. And then the whole Nevi'im ends with this. Ve'shiv lev avot al banim, v'lev banim al avotam. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And then there's a threat. And it's such a terrible threat that when we read this publicly, we go back and read the pasuk before, like we do with Yeshayahu and Kohelet and Echa, because we don't want to end on a bad note, which is pen avovi ketia ta'aretz cherem. Because otherwise, I'm going to come and destroy the world. That's what I'm saying. Either you get the hearts of the fathers and children together, or else I'm going to, the Yom HaGadol Vanora is not going to be a day of redemption, but a day rather of punishment. Okay, let's file this away. We're going to come back to this, to both those passages, and look at the core passage which really animates what we're doing today. Sefer Devarim begins with a presentation of the history. The first few prakim are a history of the last year of travels for the most part. And then there is the only real theological presentation we have in Chumash, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's retelling of the event of Matan Torah, which this generation was either very young or wasn't around for. And he describes in great detail, make sure that you understand you didn't see any images and don't make any images, etc. And towards the beginning of it, we have these three psukim, these two psukim, right? Raki shamar lecha shmor nafshecha miyod. Be very careful. Pen tishkach et hadvarim asher ra'u inecha. You never forget what you saw. Now, that's critical. Ufen yasur lecha kol inecha yecha, and that they should never leave your heart for your entire life. Vodatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha. And you should tell them to your children and to your children's children. Right? What is it you're supposed to tell them? Yom asher amadata lifnei Adonai Elohecha b'chorev. The day that you stood at Har Sinai. But now notice, what was Har Sinai? Har Sinai was Matan Torah. Matan Torah is information, is mitzvot, is a brit. And therefore, it is the things that we heard, not the things that we saw. the things that we saw at very most weeks later were a set of tablets that got broken, and in weeks after that, another set of tablets that we never saw because it went into the Aron. As far as seeing the words of Hashem, that's it. So it should be Advarim Asher Shamu Oznecha in that first red section, the things that you heard. But instead, it's Hadvarim Asher Ra'u Einecha, the things that you saw with your eyes. And you have to tell them to your children and to your children's children. And what is that? The day that you stood in front of Hashem in Har Sinai, Be'amor Adonai Elai HaKeli Yata'am Hashemim Atvarim Asher Midun Li'ra'oti Kolim Asher Chaim Al-Damavet Pnehem Yilam Medun. Then Hashem said, gather the people, and I will tell them my words, that they will learn to fear me all of the days that they're alive, and they will teach it to their kids. All right. And so it seems as if we're walking in kind of two directions. We're supposed to remember the words and inform the words to our children and to our children's children. And yet, this is supposed to be an experience which doesn't create an intellectual growth, but rather an emotional growth of fear of Hashem. How do these things connect? One last pasuk that I want to throw out, just to kind of file in the background, we're going to come back to all of these, is two psukim that we're familiar with, unfortunately for most people, not from Yeshayahu, but from davening. It's good that we know them from davening. We should know them from Yeshayahu also. The last two psukim in Yeshayahu Nuntet read, Uval Etzion Goel, Ulishaveh Feshev Yaakov Ne'um Adonai. There's a promise of a Redeemer coming to Tzion. Vani, God says, as for me, Zot Briti Otam, Amar Adonai, Ruchi Asher Alecha, Dvar Shasam Tivficha, As for me, what my promise is the spirit I've given you and the words that I've put in your mouth will never leave your mouth, your kid's mouth, or your kid's kid's mouth forever. What is going on? So we have a potpourri of psukim that some of them speak about redemption, some of them speak about the event of Matan Torah. I mean, looks like I've put together a cacophony here and not much of a symphony. So put all of these on the side, and now let's start with Chazal. Chazal are going to take us back to these psukim. I'm going to start with this passage from Masechet Kiddushin in the sugya about the obligation to teach your son Torah. In the sugya in Kiddushin, it starts in Mishnah Zayin, in the first parak, Adaf Chavtet. These are the mitzvot that a father has to do for his son. One of them is to teach him Torah. A long discussion about it. And in that discussion, there was a mention about a particular man who taught his grandson Torah. And then the Gemara says, is there really an obligation to teach your grandson Torah? And we get to this. I'm Rabbi Shuvan Levin. You have it in English also. Kol ha-malamein et ben beno Torah, ma'ale alav ha-katuv ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai. Right? And it's a very simple thing. For the first X amount of years of my life, I'm not giving anything away, I understood this very straightforward. Shimon Levi says, anyone who teaches his son's son Torah, it is considered as if he received it from Har Sinai. So I'll ask you the question, who received it from Har Sinai? And the way I was understood, and I think the way that's generally understood is, it's as if the son received it from Har Sinai, because it fortifies the whole notion of the chain of tradition, and I'm hearing it from my grandfather, not my father, from my grandfather, and therefore, I know he heard it from his grandfather, goes all the way back to Har Sinai. It's beautiful. The problem is the language doesn't work with that. Because the language says, Kol Hamalamein, I don't know how they translated it here. Yeah, even the translation keeps the same problem. Kol Hamalamein, who is the subject in this passage? It is not the child, it's the grandfather. Look at the passage. Anyone who teaches his grandson Torah, that means the subject of this sentence is the grandfather, the teacher. And it says it's as if he received it from Har Sinai. If we're talking about the grandson, meaning that the grandson is as if he is considered to receive it from Har Sinai, we have two different ways we could word it. One way we could word it is, kol ha-lomeid me'avi aviv. Anyone who studies Torah for his grandfather, that's as if he got it from Har Sinai. Or, kol ha-lomeid et ben beno Torah ma'ale al ben beno ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai. This grandson has to get into the picture somewhere in the syntax of the sentence. And he's not there. We have to figure out what's going on. Where did Rabbi Shimon Levi get this idea from? Shinamar. And he goes back to passage 3. And then it says, so even though in pshat what it means is you have to tell your children and your children's children about Ma'amad Har Sinai, he reads it as if you teach your children and your grandchildren, it's as if they were at Har Sinai, or maybe something of that effect. Meaning he weds the two passages together, not as being a flow of this is what you teach your kids about Har Sinai, but rather, if you teach your kids, it's as if they were or you were present at Har Sinai, right? And now we hear a story. So, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, this is in Tveria in the late third century, he saw Rabbi Shimon Levi throw on a kind of shmata and on his head, and take his kid to shul to study. I'm like, Michael, hey, hi. Why didn't you take time to get dressed? Why are you rushing? Meaning, I got to take my kid and sit and learn with him. It's such a powerful thing because it's like Ma'amad Har Sinai, right? So what happened? Mikan va'elech. Once Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the student who asked his teacher why he was disheveled, because he was rushing, because he didn't have time to get dressed. From that point on, lo taim umtsa ademakri liyinuka umosfe. Right? And so he wouldn't eat anything in the morning until he had read to his son, he learned something and taught him something new. Rab Marvuna lo taim umtsa ademakri liyinuka lebe midrashin. Another story about another chacham. It's a beautiful idea. It's a beautiful picture. And if we were to stop right now, we would say there is a very powerful experience that happens when a grandfather teaches his grandson or granddaughter, and the grandchild experiences learning from two generations back and realizes that what they're doing is they're learning really from a whole chain. And they're two links away, which means that those links continue back. It's a very powerful thing. And they're learning stuff from somebody who's older and who has the wisdom of experience and maybe gives them that greater sense of awe, maybe. Which is why this passage is very strange. This passage is what threw me for a loop, to be honest. And then once I saw it, I think I now understand the passage very differently than I did for all that time. Same Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Kahad Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Have a yalif shama parshata min barbere b'chol aruvat shuva. He used to make sure, same Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, he used to make sure to study a parsha from his grandson every Erev Shabbat. And now you have a little Archimedes story. Chadzman inshi ba'al mischei ba'ahen dimus in Tveria. One day he went in, it was a Friday, he went into the Beit HaMerchatz. V'havei mistamech al katfei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Again, same Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba we had in the other story. He was leaning on him. In ha'delo shama parshtei min barbrei. He suddenly realized he had not heard any Torah from his grandson. Ribbono Shalom hadn't heard Torah from his grandson. The Chazar v'nafakle, he ran out of the bathhouse. We assume he put something on. And it sounds like the same exact story we had before, except for one critical reversal. In this case, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi isn't going to teach his grandson. It's that every Erev Shabbat, he was makpid to hear Torah from his grandson, have his grandson teach him. And he and Amalei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba v'lo kein alfan Rebbe mitchilu ein mafsikin. The context of this particular passage in Masachet Shabbat is the Mishnah that says that if you sit down, you're not supposed to sit down, let's say, to a meal in the afternoon, a big feast until you've daven Mincha. But if you already started, you don't have to interrupt. And one of the things there is going into the bathhouse. So he said, Rebbe, don't we learn that you don't, if you're in the bathhouse already, you don't interrupt in order to go take care of something, right? So you're interrupting and leaving. Now watch what he says. It's a wild statement that anyone who hears a parsha from his son's son is as if he heard it from Har Sinai, meaning the grandfather. What's the reason? The same psukim that we saw. Right, and then there's further discussions about how we accredit a statement and the train of tradition, but the point here is very powerful. It's a reversal of what we saw here in the Bavli. And it sounds like it's the same story because it's the same Abchia Bar Abba who asks him, and Abishur Bar Levi tells him. So whether or not it's the same story or not, it seems like it is, we certainly aren't going to make the claim that every grandchild should be a teacher and every grandparent should be a student, and it should be only in that direction. And that in order to experience as if you've gotten Torah from Har Sinai, you have to sit and have your grandchild teach you. Nobody's going to make that consideration, especially considering, because even if we wanted to, in our fantasies, suggest such a thing, since the Gemara in Kiddushin brings this piece up in a response to the story about a grandfather who taught his grandson, halacha, agadah, et cetera, et cetera. So clearly we're talking about a grandfather teaching a grandson. So what's this statement doing here? Very strange. One last piece of the puzzle, and then we're going to put it all together. Chazal, in several places, see in source 8, see in source 10, make the statement that if a person studies Torah, and his son studies Torah, and his son's son studies Torah. I'm looking right now at several people who I know as students, and I know their children as students, and in some cases, I have had or do have their grandchildren as students. So it's beautiful to be able to share this with you guys. That if you have Torah in the first generation, the second generation, the third generation, there is a promise that it will stay in the family forever. And it's based on this pasuk. Ani zot briti otam. This is my brit. Ruchi asher alecha v'ashasam t'vicha lo yamushin picha u'pi zaracha u'pi zera zaracha yatav yadolam. We're reading the pasuk differently, midrashically, than it's simply read. The simple read of it is that I promise that the Torah will stay with you for generations. The way we're reading it midrashically is, if you ensure the first three generations, I will sign off on the rest of history. You make sure that you and your son and your grandson are all students of Torah, I will sign off on the rest of history. I'll guarantee it. It's a beautiful piece. But notice there's another piece to the puzzle. This pasuk that we're playing with is preceded by the pasuk, and we say it every day in davening, Uval Tzion Goel. This is the redemption. And now let's roll back to this pasuk. Hashem is going to send Eliyah to announce the great day of Hashem. And then what? The hearts of the sons will turn to the parents, and the hearts of the parents will turn to the sons. Now, this sounds like it's not really related to our topic. So I want to share first something that Rav Kook said about this piece, and then take it further into our sugya. Rav Kook made the following observation. He said, you know, parents, the older generation, is a generation of experience, of wisdom, but a certain amount of cynicism and a certain amount of jadedness and a certain amount of tiredness. And the younger generation is a generation full of vim and vigor and excitement and idealism, but of being rash. He said, when will Mashiach come? When the younger generation is willing to accept wisdom from the experience of the older generation. And more critically, when the older generation is willing to get excited from the younger generation, when they're willing to look at each other and say, I know what you bring to the table and I want to gain from it. And they each recognize the value and they teach each other and work together. Now, Veshiv Avot al Banim Velei Banim al Avotam doesn't necessarily mean fathers and sons. And in the way that Rav Kook is seeing, it's much more like the older generation and the younger generation. I like to posit it's really grandparents and grandchildren. And the parents are in the middle. The grandparents are the ones who are wise and experienced and have many years under their belt. And the children are the ones who are just starting to grow. The children are the one with all the excitement. And the older generation, again, is the one with all the life experience. And when they can turn to each other in that way, the Mashiach will come. And that's the Mishnah at the end of Eidiyot. The Mishnah at the end of Eidiyot has an interesting discussion about what's Eliyahu's job supposed to be. The Taher, the Karev, not to answer halachic questions, that's for sure, not on the table, but the Taher, you know, to settle doubts in halacha, to settle doubts about lineage, and Chachamim Omrim, this is the final word of Eidiyot. Lo l'rachek v'lo l'karev, ela l'asot shalom ba'olam. What's Eliyahu's job? To bring peace to the world. Shenemar, hinei anochi shaleach lachem et Eliyahu navi. That's what Eliyahu's job is. That's what's going to create the Geula. So let's now roll it all back up and look back at Mamad Har Sinai. If you look at source 2, you can see that just before Malachi introduces the idea of Eliyahu and the parents and children, he invokes Mamad Har Sinai. And it's before he talks about Mashiach coming, the Geula coming, Eliyahu coming to announce the Geula, and that will involve fathers and sons of the older generation and the younger generation be turning to each other. He invokes Mamad Har Sinai, and he says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi Asher Tziviti Oto B'chorei V'Kol Yisrael. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, that I commanded him at Har Chorev for all of Am Yisrael, Chukim Mishpatim. And then, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem. It's all part of one parasha. It's all part of one thing. What is the connection between the Geula and Mashiach coming and Mamad Har Sinai? How do these things fit together? And where do the grandparents and grandchildren fit in? What is that about? So I want to point to one very strange line in the story of Mamad Har Sinai. It's the one source that I skipped. And I think this will help us put all of these pieces together. In the psukim leading up to the actual revelation, and the chronology there is very confusing, but as the cloud covers the mountain, and the mountain is shaking and smoking, and there is the sound of a shofar heard, a metaphysical shofar, a supernal shofar, whatever it is, but there's a sound of a shofar heard which gets stronger and stronger, we hear the following line. And this is in anticipation of Mamad Har Sinai, meaning anticipation of the revelation and of the words. Vahi kol ha-shofar holech v'chazek meod, meaning he gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And then Moshe yedaber, Moshe speaking, v'hay Elohim yanenu v'kol. And God responds to him with a voice. Now, what does that mean? Every parshan is in a different direction in this, because it's a very difficult passage. Does it mean Moshe was speaking words quietly and Hashem was answering words loudly, overcoming the shofar? Does it mean that Hashem was giving Moshe the strength to speak so loud that Am Yisrael could hear him above the shofar? I don't know, but I do know one word here which changes our image, and that word is Ya'anenu. Moshe speaks and Hashem responds, which is an inversion of the relationship. The relationship should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches and Moshe repeats. The student should repeat. But here Moshe speaks and Hashem responds. Hashem is the one who ki'ilu repeats. Now, let's go back and see what it is that we're supposed to be experiencing with our grandchildren and our grandparents, and essentially over the generations. I'm blessed that at this particular point in my life, many of the students that I have in class are the age of grandparents, of grandchildren, meaning to me, and many of their grandparents are my peers. So, I can start to sort of feel this. In source 3, Raki shama lacha ushron avshecha miyod penishkachet tedavrim asher ra'u enecha. What is it we're not supposed to forget? Of course we have to remember Torah, and of course we have to pass all the information on. But what is it that we're not allowed to ever leave our hearts? What we saw. The experience of Har Sinai, the emotional experience, the mountain smoking, seeing Moshe go into the cloud, all of that experience is what we have to pass on to our children. And so now, if part of the experience was that Moshe spoke and Hashem answered, that means that the way we teach Torah is not the way we have it now with everybody muted, but rather it's a dialogue. It's a dialogue across generations. It's a dialogue across metaphysical realities between God and people. And God is actually listening to the people and he's responding. So certainly when grandchildren and grandparents are listening to each other, and it starts with the grandparent teaching the grandchild the Torah. But the greatest reenactment of Mamad Har Sinai and the greatest nachat for any grandparent is to sit down and listen, tell me, what did you learn today? and listen to the grandchildren teach. To imagine that Rabbi Shuvan Levi, who, as Dovi pointed out in a note, seemed to be very taken by the relationship between Mamad Har Sinai and this whole experience, to have the dialogue happen across the generations. That is the model that was set up in Mamad Har Sinai by Elohim Yonenu V'Kol. And that, if reenacted, is the model that if we can act on it and actualize it, we'll actually be able to bring the Geula. That the Geula will happen when we can have that kind of conversation between our generations, where each side listens because they realize the wisdom of the other, but they see it as an obligation upon themselves to learn from their grandchildren, to hear what the grandchildren have to say and be there as the respondent. And by doing that, the child is now re-experiencing Mamad Har Sinai. Now take a look at our original quote and we'll see it in a different light. In source 6, I'm Rabbi Shuvan Levi. Kol ha-melamed et ben benot Torah, ma'ale alav ha-katuv ki'ilu kibla mehar chorev. What does that mean? So the simple pshat, again, with the syntax is, anybody who teaches his son Torah, it is considered as if he, who's he? The grandfather, received it at Har Chorev. Because what must happen if he's going to teach his grandchild Torah? He must also listen to his grandchild. It's got to be a dialogue. And the minute you sit down with your grandchild, you teach him Torah, and then he teaches you. You have a chavruta together. You say to him, teach me what you learned this week in Shir. Tell me something at the Friday night table. Share something with me. You, the grandfather, are experiencing Har Sinai. And imagine what that does when you teach that to your grandchild. You, grandson, teaching me Torah, it's as if I heard it mipi Hashchina. Very, very powerful lesson of Rabbi Shuvan Levi that you know, hopefully will push us through. This is for many of us. This will be a difficult Shavuot, I know, for many people because they can't have their grandchildren at the table. So it's important to call them Erev Yontif and have them teach you something, and teach them something, and reenact Mamad Har Sinai. Okay, good. Okay. Anyhow. So that's what I wanted to just share about that particular thing. And again, mazel tov to Mima and to Zev on their upcoming wedding. And Emir Tzashem, Lee will continue to get lots and lots of nachat from all of his wonderful grandchildren, both here in the States and in Israel. And all the grandparents and grandchildren will continue to dialogue at Biyat HaGoel. Okay. Have a great Yontif, everybody. Chag Sameach. I'll see you next Wednesday. We'll pick it up with something. We'll have to decide which parsha to do. We've got at least one person here from Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. Maybe we'll go to Baal Otcha. We'll see. Okay. Anyways, have a great Yontif, everybody. Chag Sameach. Yeah.